So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
It's our weekly marriage hour. You know what that means? We're talking everything, relationships and marriage. Gentlemen, do you have questions today for our matchmaker, Christina Pineda from Matchmakers in the City? She's back, and we're going to be talking about how men like romance too, and whether being romantic really does matter to a woman. And get this, gentlemen, women are visual too. How you dress, it matters. If you'd like to join the conversation today, the number is 1-888-914-9149, or you can head over to my Instagram story and ask your question during the show for our matchmaker, Christina. I'm leaning toward taking questions from you gentlemen, so let me know if you have any question to do with marriage and dating. We are here to take them. Fascinating. In light of the appointment of Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court, the Girl Scouts of America decided to congratulate Amy Coney Barrett. In fact, they celebrated the fact that she's the fifth woman appointed to the Supreme Court of the United States. But then, in today's cancel culture, not only did they get canceled, but they canceled their own tweet. They deleted the tweet, totally took it down. Now, why would they do that? The organization said the post was, quote, quickly viewed as a political and partisan statement. And apparently this wasn't their original intent, so they took it down. They're terrified of the cancel culture. And apparently women aren't allowed to support women. That's not really a thing. And I think that's true. Not only from a basic human level do women often fail to support women, but from a pop culture standpoint, you are only allowed to support the women in the nasty hats. And, you know, it's fascinating to me. There were only 300, if that, nasty hat women that showed up to the march a couple weeks ago in San Diego. I was there. Yet we had thousands upon thousands of people just a week prior to that here in San Diego. You want to know what they were doing? They took to the streets in a Eucharistic procession downtown, praying the rosary. Come on, we can do better than this. So when you are afraid of someone canceling you, unfollowing you, defriending you, not talking to you at Thanksgiving dinner, you know, it doesn't matter anyways. Gavin Newsom says you can only have three households here in the state of California that get together. Otherwise, you should cancel your get together. So, you know, you're probably not going to make the list anyways. So why does it even matter? The government's saying who you can and can't socialize. In fact, did you know, California, you're supposed to put your food in individual sanitized to-go containers? And you should really reconsider whether or not you use that restroom. I could go on and on about the rules that poor California has been told to follow for Thanksgiving and Christmas. I better hold my tongue here because there's a lot that could be said about California and our dear governor. So, what's the bottom line here? Do we fall prey to the same thing that a massive organization, the Girl Scouts of America, has fallen prey to? We fail in our culture to compliment those who maybe don't agree with us perfectly or who aren't exactly aligned with where we're at. In an age of continuous social media conversations and so-called online friendships, it can lead us to forget the importance of complementarity, of complimenting people with actual compliments and actually taking the phrase that they themselves use of coexisting, building bridges, and ultimately charitably helping others along in truth. That doesn't mean you get to hit them over the head with your nice and spicy and to the point social media posts. That means you have to do the drudgery, the difficult work that's required in order to build bridges, compliment people. Have you ever complimented someone even when it hurt? Maybe you meant the compliment. Maybe someone you can't stand is wearing something really nice. that nice pair of earrings, whatever it might be. And you compliment them because you really like what they're wearing, but you really can't stand the person. I'm laughing right now because I just complimented one of my producers right before the show, and he's looking mighty fine today in what he's wearing. And he's probably like, what does this mean? What are you trying to say about me? Oh gosh, this is hilarious. No offense, I had no intention there. But it really is a good lesson for us. When we see this cancel culture, are we falling prey to it? Are we? Because I think it's easier than you think. And it's easy to disconnect from real, in-person, face-to-face, tough conversations that are required. Let's talk for just a moment about healthy habits. You're listening to our Marriage Hour here on Trending. And I found this story fascinating. I come from a fitness background. Fitness is so important to me. I grew up dancing since I was 3 years old. I danced professionally. I danced with the Russian Ballet Company in high school called the Kirov in Washington, D.C. And I'm a Pilates trainer. I work with all sorts of body injuries and recovery, from professional ball players to people who just want to overcome some spinal injuries. So healthy habits really do matter to me, but it's cool when you see it within marriage. Couples, spouses specifically, encouraging one another. So the story came out, you may have seen it, there was a recording on TikTok where a husband actually showed his wife, 9 months pregnant, who ran a mile in under 6 minutes. That's right. Well, to be precise, 5 minutes and 25 seconds. Many of us couldn't even do that. I know I definitely couldn't. I'm not a runner. No, thank you. Now, it's interesting because when she was pregnant, her husband said he would give her $100 if she could break an 8-minute mile at 9 months pregnant. She took the bait. But you know what this really reminded me of? This wasn't some vain glory. This wasn't, you know, just him telling her like, hey, babe, you got to stay healthy and slim during marriage. He knew his wife. He knew she was someone who was athletic, who was capable. Not all women are capable of running a mile, yet alone a mile in 20 minutes while 9 months pregnant. But he knew his wife and what she was capable of and encouraged her and supported her and some pretty healthy habits. And I think this is awesome. It's something that I personally appreciate, but it's also important to remember prudence within marriage, of knowing what your spouse loves, what's good for them, what are good habits, unhealthy habits, maybe times where they need to temper those habits. You know, all of us can have our new diet fads or exercise fads or new routines, but we should always be willing to speak into that routine of our spouse when maybe it's not being balanced correctly. Or maybe they're not doing enough of the thing that they love that actually makes them a better and more disciplined person. So I thought this story was great. It was a good reminder as a spouse to be supportive, complimentary, but also to help evaluate and walk side by side in those habits, both healthy and for fun. You're listening to Trending with Timmery. My guest today during our Marriage Hour is our resident matchmaker, Christina Pineda. She's a co-founder of Matchmakers in the City. They're doing matchmaking the old-fashioned way, and she has so many nuggets of advice for love, romance, and marriage. And gentlemen, this one's for you. If you have any questions, head over to my Instagram story or Twitter. You can find me at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. We're also taking questions, 1-888-914-9149. Here's the question. Does being romantic really matter to men? What is it that Ryan Gosling and Bruno Mars have that you don't? Christina's here to answer that.
Hi, Timmery. So good to be back on with you.
It's great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm laughing because people might wonder, why did we ask the question about Bruno Mars and Ryan Gosling? Why those celebrities? And I just want to say, at Matchmakers in the City, we always ask the question, who is your celebrity crush, when we're doing the intake interviews and the Bachelor and Bachelorette interviews. And Ryan Gosling is by far the number one man we've had through all of the years that we've done
really?
This.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Okay. It's an interesting fact, interesting trivia fact that Ryan Gosling is the most popular. And he's just, I think it's because of his, I don't think it's him as an actor. I think it's him as the character Noah in The Notebook, because women have gravitated towards that romance and of The Notebook, the movie The Notebook.
We can talk about that another time.
Oh, yes, we should. We should, because there's a lot there. But I will say that the fact that he writes her letters every single day for a year, and her mom takes them away. There's all of these details that he does in the movie, and as opposed to the guy who's more wealthy and all of that. But women just love this romance, and that's why I brought him up as one of the men who were asking about. And then Bruno Mars, I put him here because his basically romancing women is how in music is how he made his career. The first song that I think that he became the most popular with was Just the Way You Are, and it's for women. Women are obsessed with this. They want to be told that. And these are two men who just get, well, at least in Ryan Gosling's character of Noah, they just get what women are thinking about. And I think these are so important, because a lot of the Catholic and faithful Catholic men who I date coach are looking for, and date consult, are looking for the trifecta woman. And that woman has beauty, brains, and then desiring the beatific vision. I needed to make that an alliteration. But they want the full package for a woman. They want her to have it all. And there are incredible women out there, and amazing Catholic women out there. But they are rare, they're hard to find, and they're hard to keep. That's why it's a lot of times men might be unsure, and they come to me even clueless about how to create romance, even though they crave it. There have been many studies, and Shanti Feldman in her book For Women Only actually talks about how men desire romance just as much as women do. But there's this disconnect of what romance means. Yeah. I know. When I was reading that, I was thinking, really? Not in my. I mean, it's different for them, but they want it, and they do feel very masculine when they're able to create it. This is why we teach a class called "What Women Want" at Matchmakers in the City, and I will say the number one thing is that love is in the details for women. The men who wrote, and because I was thinking when I was looking up Bruno Mars, I found the song that one of his most recent singles, it's called That's What I Like. It just strikes a chord with women as well. And I was wondering, did a woman write that? Because it just gets the woman, the female mind. But no, actually men wrote that. And this song is just exactly what we're talking about, because the lyrics speak to women's desire for romance. It was number one on the Billboard 100. And obviously it's not the most moral song if you're single, but if a man who's single is singing it, but you can save the silk sheets and fireplace lounging for after you say I do, and learn from this song. It's listen to it, learn from it. And then we're going to talk a little bit about, for normal men in dating interactions, what romance means. And I'll go into that, but I want to give pause for you, Timory, because I just talked for a long time.
No, this is great. That's Christina Pineda. You're listening to Trending with Timory, heard here on Relevant Radio during our marriage hour. Whether you're single, dating, or want to be in a relationship, this is for you, including married spouses, to spice up that relationship. In fact, one question or topic that came in is, you know, men tend to think that being romantic means doing something elaborate, but can it be simply things such as things like opening up the car door for a woman? Or do men need to do more than that?
That's the detail. That's chivalry is the details. That's what women want. We want those little things that you think about, those thoughtful gestures. Of course, if you want to splurge and want to do something, want to take her on a shopping spree in Paris, as it says in the lyrics, but you know, you can do that, go for it, but it's not really that important. That's why Noah is in The Notebook is the more women like him better than the wealthy guy in there. He thinks about the details. And I love that you're thinking about opening car doors. I want men to study chivalry because this will be a game changer in their dating life and in their marriage.
I love that. Okay, another question on this before we get into some of those practical tips for spicing up the romance without feeling, you know, lame or weird or overdoing mm-hmm. it. Question is, some men can be really leery of giving compliments because they don't want to come off as creepy. How do you combat that?
Oh, yes, this is great. This is actually one of the things I wanted to talk about. You definitely, if you're meeting a woman on an app or online, you don't want to compliment her beauty before you've met because that makes her feel self-conscious and objectified, especially you haven't even established any rapport with her. So wait until you're in person. And then when you see her, you can say, wow, you look beautiful. That is what every woman wants to hear. They don't want to hear that they're cute. They don't want to hear that beautiful is the best adjective. So if you mean it, say it. That's what I would do. And then don't overdo it with the compliments on her looks, but little things here and there. Women do tend to be insecure about their looks. We've been thrown Cosmo and all these magazines that have shown us that we are not worthy for years. And that does a lot to a woman's psyche. So you definitely go for it. I want you to be complimentary, but be genuine and don't overdo it.
Okay, so when we talk about this from a practical perspective, men listening are probably thinking, oh boy, you're putting a lot of pressure on me now. I really hope my wife doesn't know that I listened to this show because now they're going to be expecting some of this. In fact, by the way, Christina, my husband and I have been talking about some of the tips you gave a couple weeks ago about not getting comfortable within marriage. We had a little debate this morning, which was great. And I finally looked at him and went, what would Christina say? And it totally ended the debate, just so you know. So thank you. I had that in my back pocket, thanks to you. Let's touch on these practical tips translated for normal men in dating interactions, whether you're dating your spouse or someone you're considering marrying. What can be done without putting tremendous pressure on the budget, time, or even emotional discomfort?
Right. And that's why these things are simple and everyone can do them. And it helps prevent that getting too comfortable thing that's actually been a theme of what you and I have talked about throughout the past few weeks, Timory, with Brian Austin Green saying we got too comfortable with him and Megan Fox and their relationship. So some things that you can do, they're simple. Spelling. Women want you to use proper grammar and spelling, especially if you're dating. Please just say, use the proper there. It can be really frustrating. I've had bachelorettes ask me, this guy is talking to me online and I don't know what to do. He has a great job, but it just doesn't seem like he even graduated high school with what the spelling that he's using. So you want to be very, look at your spelling, make sure you're spelling her name right. Make sure those details are all set. And then think about also you. I want you to think about, how do you keep your house? How do you keep your car? And you may not be able to shower her with diamonds everywhere, but if you keep your house and where you live and where you drive, what you drive nice and clean, that will really show her about your inside as well, that you're someone who's put together, who she can rely on. Women do want to feel protected. And those are some things that you can take pride in of where you live. And as well as the car that you're driving, even if it isn't a Ferrari, it doesn't have to be, just keep it clean and neat. And then Okay, Tamara, are you about to say something?
No, I think this is great, and I think it makes us feel a little uncomfortable at times to be like, oh man, you're telling me to change my habits. But no, it's to be thoughtful of someone else and even to take pride in what you have and what you do.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And a lot of times men don't feel like if they're living just with men, neatness isn't their top priority. They can go many days without cleaning things, with keeping pizza boxes out. It would be a very different world if women didn't exist. Because there are some men who are just by nature more clean. But these things are just special things that are chivalrous, that you're thinking about her and laying down your life in ways that you might think that, oh, laying down my life has to be this big gesture for her, for my wife, or for the girl I'm dating. No, it could be just cleaning your bedroom.
I love it. Okay, let's talk about a couple maybe practical things you can do on a date that will be helpful.
Okay, great. When's the last time you ordered her champagne with strawberries? Okay, I want you to just think outside of the box, men, and you don't have to get the most expensive champagne on the menu. Think of something sweet that she would like that you can surprise her with. And also
a single flower even.
Yes. Yes, a single flower. I know women love flowers, men. This is not just something that you've seen on movies. Women love them. So get them for them, except don't get them immediately because that will freak her out.
I don't know. Some girls are into that. We'll be right back with our matchmaker, Christina Pineda. Get this, men. Women are visual, too. More on romance and intimacy and dating and marriage. We'll be right back.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to our Marriage Hour, talking about everything from dating, relationships, and seasoned marriages and spicing it up a little bit. If you have an idea for romance, especially gentlemen, if you have a question, head over to my Instagram story. You can find me at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E, to ask your question of Christina today during the show. My guest is our resident matchmaker, Christina Pineda. You can find her at matchmakersinthecity.com. Christina, we've been talking about romance and how men like it too, but they don't really know how to do it. So we kind of gave some tips on how to make that happen. And that really does flow into our next topic. But first, I do want to touch on this idea of, quote, vulnerability that I think men hate to hear that word. I kind of do too. It can be a little annoying, especially in like religious circles. But the word, the meaning behind it's so important, of being open and candid and not closed off with yourself so that you can build that bridge to intimacy and romance. Do you see this as being a difficulty for a lot of people who are trying to start out new relationships?
Wow. Yes. I think it is hard. And I think vulnerability, it takes time to get to that place where you feel comfortable with a person. If you're dating that person, you want to little by little, I use the metaphor of the layers of an onion, little by little get to know someone. But you do need to at some point be open and open your heart in little ways to that person. And then especially when you're making commitments to each other, deeper commitments, and then that ultimate commitment of marriage, that is absolutely necessary in order to be honest with each other and to have those heart-to-hearts and one-on-ones that you need to in order for your relationship to grow. And it might feel uncomfortable, especially for men in the beginning, but we're not asking you to women aren't asking men to change their nature, but just to be honest with women and share how much you love her. And even if you know you think she already knows that you love her and how much you care about her, she needs to hear that from you. And that's, I think, a piece of vulnerability that men might not understand, that that they may gloss over and feel like, oh no, it's okay. I don't have to tell her that. I don't have to show her how much I care about her. She already knows I married her. That's more, men think like that more usually.
Now, this is true for seasoned married couples as well. This kind of new depth of vulnerability will begin to change as you get to know each other better and even have to be reminded of that need for openness and thoughtfulness as well.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's why that thoughtfulness piece and some of the other things I wanted to recommend, especially for people who are in relationships and married, is to for men to remember those dates. Dates are very important to women, their birthdays, your anniversary, anything that's special to them. Those little things show getting her something for that date and writing her a letter. That can be a beautiful way to show a little bit of vulnerability without going overboard. Writing her a letter, taking time out of your day, that's so special and it will mean so much to women because sometimes women will get a letter from their husband or the man they're dating. I've heard this many times from bachelorettes and they'll say to me, I never knew he loved me that much until I read his words. So those are beautiful ways to increase that intimacy and romance in your marriage or relationship.
Let's talk about how women are visual too. This is a good one for gentlemen, your ears to perk up and always remember that, you know, we talk a lot about how men are very visually oriented, visually stimulated, but we don't really think about how women are as well, but in a different way. Let's talk about it.
Yes, men are always surprised when I tell them how important fashion is to women in men's fashion. That's why we have our members work with a celebrity stylist to get their date night looks ready. And then we also at Matchmakers in the City have a stylist guide that we've created that has the perfect look for dating for men and for women. And we're very helicopter matchmaker about this because it's so important. And in terms of, we have this look that drives all women wild that we call it for men. And this is a great first date night look. It's dark wash jeans, a fitted tee. It can be a fitted V-neck tee that fits you great. And it could be usually a darker, it could be black. It could be a color that is contrasted with the dark wash jeans, a blazer. And then you want to wear nice leather shoes, not rounded toe. The rounded toe ones, I know, guys, they're the most comfortable.
But wait, what kind of shoes do you want?
I want, so they kind of come to the leather shoes that the tip comes to a little bit of a point. It could be rounded a little bit, but it has to be getting narrower as you go to the toe, not a clown shoe. Do you know what I'm thinking of,
Timmy? Yes, I'm dying right now. And by the way, my producer, one of my single producers here, he's zipping down the shirt a little bit, making it look a little bit more like a V-neck. He's checking the shoes. So, okay, we got to take this seriously. Keep going, Christina. We need these tips.
Oh, that's great. And it can be a crew neck shirt. That's fine. That's fine. It has to fit you well. You don't want to wear. So that's the best first date look. Another great thing that
I have a question here. Sorry, I've got to interrupt, but not a white t-shirt, right?
No, I have to remind our bachelors because that looks too much like an undershirt and it's not nice enough.
Thank you. My poor husband, the battle over the whole white t-shirt thing. So then it turned into, okay, well, I'll just get black t-shirts. I'm like, I'm not really just like a plain white or black t-shirt kind of girl. Like maybe if you're going to bed, poor guy, he's learned. He's really learned. He puts up with my particularness quite a bit.
Well, then every woman is different. That's why you'll get to know, as you get to know or have your staple pieces, men, but then as you get to know her, you'll find she likes certain things and doesn't like certain things. Some women love long hair. Some women want a crew cut. It's,
or a ponytail.
It's different. Yeah, there we go.
Okay, so let's talk about that hair a little bit more and keeping it well-groomed. How important is this?
Yes. Oh gosh. This is vital. And I know we're living in times where poor hair places have been going out of business, but things are starting to pick up now. So men, there's no excuse. I love you, but there's no excuse. Get your hair cut. Bring them a photo of Leonardo DiCaprio. Even if you have a little bit of just what, it doesn't matter. If you have a receding hairline, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Look up a celebrity whose hair looks like you.
Or head shape. Head shape as well.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Guys are like, what?
Standard classic celebrities who I've told our bachelors to just bring their haircut is Leonardo DiCaprio, David Beckham. It may not be, it's not the shortest haircut, but it's very well kept. And that's very important to women. You want something, you want to gel it in a way that's not too much, but it just fits you well. And you don't want to just come put a hat on and run to your date. You want to make sure you take care of your hair as well as your nails, anything that eyebrows, things, and I'm not saying you need to get your eyebrows waxed, but just make sure it looks good. Everything, all the little details look good and that you're not becoming Edward Scissorhands with your nail growth.
Oh boy. Okay, let's talk a little bit about facial hair. We're coming up on Novembeard. If you're dating in particular, how serious should you take this? And how do you bring up that question to make sure it's not a turnoff for the women you are pursuing?
Ooh, yes. That's good. Alessandra and I even did a video on this on our quarantine beards hot. And our resounding answer was no.
No, please. Please. No. We're not hibernating. I will not hibernate with you, honey. I'm out.
Yeah, there are some women, I must say, who I've coached who do like a good beard, but they are few and far between. So if you find one, you keep her. Most women are not fans of beards, but bring it up to her. If you're not sure, bring it up. She might be one of those diamonds in the rough who do like beards.
I'm just waiting for the text message from my husband. He loves it, by the way, when you're on the show. I really appreciate it. I'm going to have to start like filtering questions that I want to coach him on. I'm totally kidding. I don't do that. But, you know, this is a battle. And I think that women really do need to have kind of a middle ground here that I try. My poor husband thinks that my anti-facial hair is emasculating. but at the same time, I found, you know, he has found that balance when he starts to feel a little dirty when you let the hair grow so long. And, you know, he's really gotten good about noticing it before I ever even say something now. So it can become a bit of a battle, but there can be a middle ground that's discovered as well.
Yes, that's so true. And sometimes women feel, wives might feel, oh, this is such a small thing, but it's bothering me so much. And if it consistently bothers you, bring it up to him. It might be a simple change that he might make. And certain men look good with different things. Certain men look great with a little bit of scruff. Certain men, if it grows, that scruff grows too long, it's too long. So you want to figure out as a couple what works for you, and then it becomes second nature to the man. Obviously, you don't want to be nitpicking every little thing, which is hard for us women, but if there's things that are bothering you, it's better to bring it up than stew and be resentful.
Okay, fresh breath, chivalry. Let's talk about these last two.
Yes, yes, yes. Please, please, please brush your teeth and bring the little Listerine pocket packs with you. Anything, gum, mints, bring it with you, men, because that, and even if you're married, it just, you're going to be kissing the person, even if it's just a simple kiss. That's the biggest turnoff for a woman. You want to increase the romance, and bad breath is a sure way to kill it. Then and chivalry. Yes, I mentioned that. We were mentioning that before. This is so important. And men, I feel for you. I tell women all the time, you have to give men grace, because we live in a time when a lot of men think that chivalry is going to make them look like a chauvinist. And most women don't feel like that, though. There's a very loud minority who might feel like that, but all of the women who I've worked with who are actually looking for a relationship and looking for love want chivalry. So please, doors opened, even car doors, stand on the outside, the way closest to the cars when you're walking on the sidewalk. You want to just really be attentive to her needs and focus on her when you're at a restaurant. Make sure you look at the wall, let her face the people and the screen, the TV screens, because those can be very distracting for men. And it's not as distracting for women. So those are very simple chivalry things that I'll mention. Paying her for her valet is great if you're dating. That's just a game changer for a lot of men who I've worked with. They've done that and they've seen a lot of success from that.
And that's valet, her car, not her ballet classes, just to be sure.
Yes, ballet, exactly. Even though I would love a good ballet class any day.
And by the way, Christina Pineda is also a dancer as well. We need to talk about that one of these days. But everything we're talking about, super helpful, but could also create a huge wedge in the dating relationship or marriage and be a deal breaker or a cause for disagreement. And so all of these are really geared toward men for you to think about, for you to ponder, things to work on, not for us women to be like, you need to do this. I hate it when you wear that shirt. I really wish for the last 20 years that you wore cologne. You know, all of these different little things that we could say, sure, there are moments where we should speak up, but we have to say it nicely if it really is something that's bothering us, and it not be one of those, well, you do this and I don't like it. Instead of maybe, I really like it when you wear that shirt. Or, wow, you really smell nice when you actually brush your teeth. I'm kidding. Keep the word actually out of it.
That is very true. And you're being Christ-like, men, when you're doing these things for women. It's the first letter, St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He talks about husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over to sanctify her, cleansing her by the bath of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in splendor. Okay, so the Lord wants to present the church in splendor. So think about that when you want to pamper your wife, draw a bath for her, do these things, and you are actually being Christ-like. You're being heroic in these maybe seemingly simple things. You're being heroic.
A comment came on with the go-to date style that you gave, the dark wash jeans, the V-neck. One comment came in, I'd love your feedback on this, because not everyone's into the same thing. They commented that it sounds very metrosexual, and this person, I don't know where they're from, said it doesn't sound like any way that they see men dressing or encouraging. So what's your response?
Wow. Yeah, I guess our main cities are LA, New York, San Francisco, and DC. So we have, the places are very metro to begin with. But if that's not something that you feel comfortable with, a nice collared shirt, a great brown belt, that works too. Just don't get short sleeve collared shirts that are the blouse type things with the cutoff sleeves. Don't wear one of those that looks like a Hawaiian shirt. You want to wear the long, if it gets a little warm, roll up those sleeves, and still you can wear the blazer. And then slacks are nice pants. That's fine. If you want to be more formal, go for it. But if you're in one of those cities, or if you just feel comfortable wearing what I mentioned, go for that as well. You'll look like a celebrity in your town.
And I have to say, I love this suit, but you got to let your date know if it's a dressy night as well. I'll be back. That's Christina Pineda, our matchmaker here on Trending with Timmery. Don't go away. More to come during our marriage hour.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timmery on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Okay, a not so hot topic to discuss during the marriage hour. In fact, it was the theme of, I believe, yesterday's Daily Mass reading, that pesky Ephesians chapter 5. Those poor priests, when they have to preach on that, if you don't know what I'm talking about, has to do with being mutually submissive to one another, husbands and wives. And then for wives, it says to be submissive to their husbands. Remember what submission means, to be under, sub, under the same mission. But also it does show the authority of the husband. In fact, all the interpretations of this, although it talks about being under the same mission, emphasizes the leadership of the man in the family, of the husband and the father. But then it gives guidelines for how a husband and a father is to live this out. It says, and to lay down your life, gentlemen, as Christ did for the church. And guess what? Men, that's bloody, bruised, and beaten. That requires denying yourself. But I am fascinated by this comment that was made by Jeannie Mai. Now, Jeannie Mai is a talk show host. She's also been on the most recent season of Dancing with the Stars. She's still not eliminated yet. She's actually a pretty good dancer from what I hear. I've not seen this star become dancer yet. I look forward to checking out some of her routines. But get this. She said she cannot wait to submit to Jeezy. She's getting ready to be married, and she's made some really fascinating comments about this idea of submission and male leadership within marriage. And I want to break this down together because I think it's very helpful for us to see examples of this, both in from a faith perspective, but also from a practical perspective as well, which is where I see she's coming from. I know nothing about whether or not she's a person of faith. I'm going to guess there might be some faith in there in the background. But what she's saying really does come from a practical viewpoint that falls in line with what the church has to say about male leadership, submission, but the joy that that can bring a wife in a relationship when that's actually lived out. So check it out. In fact, we see Jeannie Mai's comments saying, I am more of a powerful woman because I understand my power of choice. And I would like to appreciate my man's role by giving him the ability to make decisions for us. Ooh, the nasty hat ladies must be so upset about this comment. This was a comment made to US Weekly recently. Now, it's interesting because she talks about how this doesn't mean that Jeezy would ignore her thoughts and her wishes. That's not it at all. In fact, she even says it also doesn't make her any less equal than him. It's her saying this, I trust you. And I think that that's a really important thing to be able to say to the person you're about to marry. I trust you. I know that you have my well-being in mind. I know that you get me. And in fact, you could be at times 10 steps ahead of me in knowing what I need. Now, she is getting married to the rapper Jeezy, and they're going to be working together quite a bit in the future, both in their personal and professional lives. Now, as I'm looking at some of her comments, she talks about doing this dance of life together in their forthcoming marriage and how she has to, quote, allow him to be the framework for our marriage and our life. She goes on to say, he knows enough to ask me questions to incorporate what I want to build in the vision of us together. And then she says this, I'm so excited to submit because in my life, I'm such a boss. I'm a boss in the way I wake up, the jobs that I choose, my career path, the people I hang out with, even where to eat and what to do in one 24-hour day is all my decision. When I come home to see my king, he'll say, you know what? I know you, Jeannie. And then she goes on to talk about how he'll know she's tired and the types of food that they should end up getting, the thoughtful acts of kindness done behind the scenes, making sure that the other person's getting enough rest and nutrition, that thoughtfulness that she's really looking forward to, and that trust she's placing in her husband. Isn't this fascinating from someone who we would look at as, I guess someone you could say who, quote, has it all, has that public career, has been really effective at what she's doing, She's willing to put herself out on a limb, join Dancing with the Stars as an inexperienced individual and compete. She's doing really well. As she said, I'm used to being a boss. I decide what I want to do. And she's realizing, wow, this marriage, it's actually going to transform my life. And it's going to mean there's another person in my life. I say this often, that when God created Adam and Eve, the very first thing he encourages them to do is to be fruitful and multiply. We read about the two becoming one flesh. But so often we reduce this idea of becoming one flesh and multiplying to the activity of intimacy within the bedroom and to having children. Those are both so important and so fundamental. But becoming one flesh means uniting in terms of who you are, a union of persons, a union of knowing the other person, knowing how the other person thinks, what their desires and dreams are, what their sorrows are, and even the struggles that they're going through, and how perhaps you can be a means on your own based on what you do and say to increase those temptations within their own struggles, or to help aid them in coming out of the battles that they themselves are facing. Being a spouse puts an incredible responsibility on your shoulders, but it should be considered an honor. And I look at what Jeannie Mai has to say here, and she's so excited for her marriage because she trusts him. She trusts rapper Jeezy here. She trusts that he has her best interests in mind. And she's saying, I trust you. I think that this is so important when we talk about anything in our marriage hour, where we are talking about how you dress and how you romance your spouse or the person you're dating. Ultimately, when you're discerning marriage with someone, you're discerning whether or not this person is good for you, whether this person will bring about the best in you. We look at marriage and it's a sacrament in the church. I talked a lot about this yesterday. Well, that sacrament should be a part of that pathway to heaven. It is. It's a vocation in which you direct yourself closer toward God and ultimately to total union with him. But hey, something I think we don't talk enough about is the fact that we're called to be saints, not the day we die and we make it to heaven. No, we're called to be saints now. This is something that people loved and were inspired by when they heard the message and the teaching of St. John Paul the Great. He truly believed that we could be living, breathing saints now. And so when I look at this example of how really, Jeannie Mai is looking forward to submitting to her husband, as I've been discussing. She's looking forward to that trust and that growing in their relationship together, that mutual caring for one another, that one flesh union that I'm talking about that isn't just physical intimacy, but it's a union of souls directing themselves toward God. And this should be grounded so deeply in our faith. Grounded in knowing the necessity of the sacraments to be that rich fruit that makes it so that we can live out our marriage. And with regard to children, God says to be fruitful and multiply. It's the first thing that he tells Adam and Eve to do. It's so important, yes, to focus on this as having actual biological children, but remember, to be fruitful and multiply challenges us to produce a virtue within our lives, to bear fruit, that our engagement with one another as spouses, our engagement with others in the world around us, through that we should see a transformation who we are and how we touch the world around us. Thanks for joining me. I'll be back tomorrow with Kim Zembar to share her story of how she's battled same-sex attraction, but has found strength, joy, peace, and healing in her relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Talk to you tomorrow.